Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. Former President Bill Clinton has announced that he is now following a healthy vegan diet. On today's program, we will talk with physician Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, M.D., the doctor who authored the landmark book that influenced President Clinton to make that dietary lifestyle change. Dr. Esselstyn is the author of Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. We will also talk with Dr. Esselstyn's son, Rip Esselstyn, who, like his father, is a leading advocate of an all-plant-based diet. Rip Esselstyn is the author of My Beef with Meat, The Healthiest Argument for Eating a Plant-Strong Diet.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And now we're going to a special interview that I did on television in Hawaii with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn that I'd share with you, where we talk about prevention and reversal of heart disease.
We're honored to have Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn Jr., who is a renowned individual and physician from the Cleveland Clinic and also a pioneer in heart disease reversal research. Nice to have you here.
John, I'm proud and delighted to be here.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America today. Tell us about that.
That's unquestionably the case, and what we have to do is define the fact that we've really got to focus on eliminating this number one disease. For instance, we have over 500,000 people who will die this year of heart disease. There will be another 1.5 million people who will have a diagnosis of a new heart attack. There'll be another 3 million people who will have a so-called silent heart attack. They'll have severe indigestion, and this will be when their heart attack has occurred. But, you know, the exciting thing is the lesson that we learned really from World War II. When the Axis powers of Germany overran the Low Countries of Holland and Belgium and occupied Norway, they actually took away a lot of their livestock, their chickens, their goats, their lamb, their sheep. And these countries were largely subsisting on a plant-based diet of grains, legumes, lentils, vegetables, and fruit. And there was a documentation in Norway of how their deaths from cardiovascular disease, from stroke and heart attack, during a time of greatest personal stress, when their country was occupied by the Axis powers of Germany, from 1939 to 1945, deaths from these diseases plummeted. And if we adapt the plant-based nutrition of these countries and achieve the same low blood cholesterol, blood fat levels, that means that we also ought to be able to arrest that disease. And that was the basic thesis behind the research that I started back in 1985.
And I'm very excited about that research you've been doing because you have conducted the longest running study to show that heart disease is reversible through a healthy meatless diet, actually. And tell us more about that.
Well, back in 1985, after my wife and I had been eating a plant-based diet for a year and our cholesterols had plummeted, I went to our Department of Cardiology and said, look, I'm not interested in practicing cardiology, but I am interested in helping you take your patients with severe heart disease and see if we can't really reduce their level of blood fats and blood cholesterol. And they were enthusiastic, and I ended up with a group of about 24 patients who were so severely ill with this disease that a number of them had been advised to go home and get ready to die by these expert cardiologists.
So the patients that you had on this meatless diet, what were the results that they experienced?
Very exciting. Their angina began to disappear, that is their heart pain. They've lost weight. They not only felt better, but then after 5 years, we did the critical thing. We repeated a number of the angiograms, and we found striking results because when they were carefully measured and compared to the baseline angiograms, that is the outline of their arteries, before the program was started, and then 5 years into the program, there were often, we found, dramatic reversals of the disease. And this was so terribly empowering to these patients because it made them really feel now they're on the right track. And then, therefore, they were not depending on a physician. They're not depending upon a cardiologist. They're not depending upon a cardiac surgeon. What they have been able to do, they have been able to unleash the incredible therapeutic powerhouse that resides within each and every one of us. But once again, if you're going to have these kinds of exciting results, it truly has to be strict attention to detail. And the phrase that I ask any patient that I'm going to counsel to totally give up before I will counsel them is, sweetheart, this little bit can't hurt.
So if we have today who may have heart disease, they may have atherosclerosis, high cholesterol, what things do they need to do? What kind of results can they experience on this meatless diet that you recommend?
If they are really absolutely dotting all the I's and crossing the T's using a plant-based diet, and they know on a regular basis, every 2 weeks to every 6 weeks, that their total cholesterol is under 150 and their LDL, their bad cholesterol, is under 80, then they're absolutely, they're right on the money for abolishing this disease. As is, I will use an example. The young surgeon who replaced me as the chairman of the Breast Cancer Task Force, in 1996, at age 44, with a cholesterol of 156, he had a heart attack after he had finished surgery one day and was writing post-operative orders, this crushing pain in his chest. And he had a heart attack, and his angiogram of his coronary arteries was actually quite good, except the lower part of the main artery in the front of the heart was completely diseased. And it was too long a segment for any of these common interventions, and he couldn't have a bypass, and he couldn't have an angioplasty. And he was very depressed. So my wife and I had him out to the house, and we counseled him. And at that point, I had 10 years of data. And I said, Joe, you know, you really ought to do this. You've been eating this toxic American diet. And he said, I'll do it, but I'm not going to take any of the cholesterol-lowering drugs with it. He became the absolute personification of commitment to this program. And within 2.5 years, when they did another angiogram, that diseased segment of his coronary artery was completely resolved. Disease was gone. And his life now is so solid and so empowered, he has absolutely zero fear of this disease now because he has made himself heart attack proof. Should people who don't have heart disease do this? When you look carefully at the battle casualties of Korea and Vietnam at an average age of 21 years in our GIs, at the time of their autopsy, if you look carefully at their coronary arteries without a microscope, 80% already have gross evidence of coronary artery disease. Now these guys haven't been diagnosed with coronary artery disease, but they're already loaded with it. What's going to happen to them 20 or 30 years later? Why? And the most important thing we haven't even talked about tonight is the fact that at age 50, most Americans, if you look at their brain scan with MRIs, begin developing these little unidentified white spots that we now know are tiny little strokes. Why in the world would you say with somebody who doesn't have symptomatic coronary heart disease not to go on a plant-based diet and let these kind of little strokes begin to develop until your memory goes sour when you're in your 70s and you lose your cognition? No, I don't think we can really escape that. Just because you may be somehow genetically gifted to get away without getting heart disease while you're eating the Western diet, there are so many other diseases that you are going to encounter if you continue to eat this way. And why do you want to have the opportunity to go into your senior years and not have that be when all your cognition and all of your intellect is absolutely right on the top? Why do you want to be somebody who has these severe personality changes, multiple strokes, in a rest home or nursing home? You want to be there enjoying your family, your children, your grandchildren, and ideally, your great-great-grandchildren.
Well, that was powerful information from, in my opinion, one of the most important leaders in the field of heart disease prevention and reversal. And Dr. Esselstyn's book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, as well as the landmark film, which is now in DVD, which is called Forks Over Knives, in which Dr. Esselstyn is the medical expert featured in that film, both are available for order. And for more information about them, you can look at our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. And if you don't have his book or have seen this really great film, Forks Over Knives, I encourage you to order it for your personal library. When we come back, we will talk with Dr. Esselstyn's son, Rip Esselstyn.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
And our special guest today on Health and Longevity is Rip Esselstyn. Rip Esselstyn was born in upstate New York, raised in Cleveland, Ohio, and educated at the University of Texas at Austin, where he was a three-time All-American swimmer. After graduating, Rip spent a decade as one of the premier triathletes in the world. He then joined the Austin Fire Department, where he introduced his passion for a whole food, plant-based diet to Austin's Engine 2 Firehouse in order to rescue a firefighting brother's health. To document his success, he wrote the national best-selling book, The Engine 2 Diet, which shows the connection between a plant-based diet and good health. Recently, Rip left his job as a firefighter to team up with Whole Foods Market as one of their healthy eating partners to raise awareness for Whole Foods employees, customers, and communities about the benefits of eating a plant-strong diet. He has appeared on hundreds of radio shows as well as national television shows, including Today Show, CBS Sunday Morning Show, Good Morning America, and The Dr. Oz Show. And he is the author of a brand new book called My Beef with Meat, The Healthiest Argument for Eating a Plant-Strong Diet. Well, welcome, Rick Esselstyn.
Thank you very much for having me, John.
Well, it's great to have you on here, and I've had your father in the past, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, and talked about the same thing we're going to talk about today as far as a plant-strong diet.
Yeah.
How did you end up writing this book?
Well, as you said, my first book, The Engine 2 Diet, came out in February of 2009, and since then I've been going around the country. It's been over 4 years now, talking to different people in communities, about transitioning to off the standard American diet to a more plant-strong diet. Let me actually explain that just a little bit, to a whole food plant-based diet. I like using the term plant-strong because that's one of the ways I was able to get a bunch of Texas male firefighters to embrace this lifestyle. I mean, a lot of it is about salesmanship.
Right.
And so plant-strong was something they could get their minds and their mouths around, so that's what I love using.
Yes.
But so it's amazing how many people still don't know that you can get all the protein you need from plants. You can get all the calcium. You can get all the vitamins and the minerals. You can be a superstar athlete eating a plant-based diet. That you can, this is the best diet for your children and if you're elderly. So really what I wanted to do was tackle all the myths that are out there and have this kind of be the definitive guidebook that helps people that are either curious about this lifestyle or are leading this lifestyle and are looking to continue to be promoters of this lifestyle. So it's 36 myth-busting chapters followed by a new recipe section with 140 new plant-strong recipes.
Well, let's talk about, before we get into some of those myths that you have beefs about,
yeah.
I know, let's get some definitions here. When you're talking about a plant-strong diet, you're talking about a diet that consists of all plant foods. Explain that.
Yeah, so we're really focusing on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and under legumes we have beans, peas, and lentils, and then some nuts and seeds. But we are skewing all flesh, all meat, all dairy, anything that comes from anything with a face or a mother or anything that has a face or a mother. And you just can't get away from the building blocks that promote chronic Western disease when you're eating these foods, whether it's the saturated fat, whether it's the dietary cholesterol, whether it's the problematic animal protein. And the beautiful thing about plants is they are just teeming with everything that we need and just about everything that we don't need. So it's a complete, you know, win-win on many levels.
Let's start off with your beef with meat. Let's go down some of the health problems that you see with eating meat products.
So, you know, we basically have five huge diseases that are taking this country down right now. The first and foremost is heart disease. You know, 51% of us will die of this disease right now, and it is in large part because of the, you know, the high fat, high cholesterol, high animal protein diet that that Americans are consuming right now. So, heart disease is number one. Number two and three, you have prostate cancer and you have breast cancer, and we know from the research, specifically from Dr. Colin Campbell at Cornell, and then also at in his research in conjunction with Cornell and Oxford University and the Chinese government, that if you look at, you know, his 30 years of epidemiological studies in rural China, that there's a direct correlation between the amount of meat consumption and dairy consumption and the rate of prostate cancer and breast cancer. So, you know, one of the best things you can do to pretty much put all the odds in your favor so you're not going to get breast cancer and prostate cancer, and really the major cancers, is to start consuming an exclusively plant-based diet. And then we have type 2 diabetes, and whether it's Dr. Neil Barnard's work out of George Washington University or James Anderson, that basically shows that by consuming the standard American diet that's heavy in the processed and refined foods and the meat and the dairy products, we are becoming insulin resistant, and which basically makes it very difficult for the insulin to open up the cell doors and escort the sugar in. So you start transitioning to a plant-based diet, and it's amazing how our body has the miraculous ability to start to metabolize away the excessive amount of fat that's built up inside the cells, and now it allows you to go very rapidly from being insulin resistant to insulin sensitive, and now you don't have as much sugar circulating in the blood. And then the last thing is the obesity crisis. And, you know, meat is loaded with salt and sugar, and many times meat is completely unnatural, and we take a piece of meat and we add all kinds of flavoring to it, and barbecue sauce and oil and fat. And this is an appetite stimulant. And I think there's some pretty very definitive research showing that, you know, by eating meat, you are typically consuming more food, more calories, which contributes to the obesity crisis that we have. So there's just a few.
Now, of course, people listening today that are used to eating a meat diet and getting their protein from meat are going to say, yeah, but if I give that up, where am I going to get my protein? And I know that's one of the myths you talk about.
It is. It's actually it's the first big myth, is that you can get all the protein you need from plants and in abundance, and for the first time in your life, you won't be protein toxic. Most Americans are getting really somewhere right around 20 or more percent of their calories from protein, which is way, way more than we need, and they're getting it from problematic animal protein, whether it's from dairy products or from red meat, fish, chicken, pork. And the problem with animal protein is it's too high in the sulfuric-containing amino acids, and it has a tendency to really do a number on our bodies, whether it's leaching calcium from our bones to buffer the acid load, whether it's promoting inflammation of our arteries that contributes to heart disease, whether it is accelerating tumor and cancer cells that contribute to cancer, and then also it's these animal proteins are incredibly harsh on the kidneys and the liver, and they also raise cholesterol levels. So when you start getting all your protein from plants, whether it's green leafy vegetables that are on average 35 to 50% protein, whether it's beans that are on average 25% protein, whether it's whole grains that are right around 10 to 15% protein, or even fruits that are on average about 6% protein, you're getting all the protein you need from a friendly plant-based source, and you're not going to be over that right around 15% of your calories coming from protein. And it's interesting to note that as human beings, we only need between 6 to 10% of our calories coming from protein, and much over that, we just store the excessive protein either as fat or we actually pee it away. So there's really, it doesn't do our bodies any benefit to be overdosing on animal protein. So, you know, you look at the elephants, the giraffes, you look at the rhinos, the silverback gorilla, some of the largest and strongest land animals get all the protein they need from plants. And I also, let me add, Dr. John, that the proteins we get from plants are also complete protein.
Yes.
Meaning that it contains all the 8 essential amino acids we need to get from food.
Right.
Whether it's isoleucine, leucine, lysine, methionine, phenylalanine, tryptophan, threonine, or valine. And, you know, most people are under the mistaken impression that plant-based proteins are incomplete and that they're lacking in one or more of the 8 essential amino acids. And that's old news, and it was a theory back in the 70s.
Yes. Now, in your book, of course, you give some great tasting recipes and wonderful color pictures here of some of these recipes. Maybe give us some examples of some of your recipes that are have a good amount of protein in it, but don't have any of that meat in it.
Well, again, I'm going to say that every recipe has protein in it,
sure.
Right? And so, you know, I don't play the whole game where we count calories or we figure out how many grams of protein there are. But you're right. So, you know, we have wonderful, amazing waffles. These are the heartiest and thickest and most filling waffles you'll ever have. We have French toast. We have pumpkin muffins, a variety of different types of pancakes, mashed potatoes, you know, pizzas, Reubens, lasagnas, chilies, nori rolls. We have Tex-Mex cuisine, pastas, burgers, and fries. You know, I tell people, the reason I was able to get a bunch of Texas male firefighters to do this is because it was drop-dead cheap. It was easy to prepare these foods. It filled them up. It made them feel fantastic, and it tasted great. And so we just took foods that they know and they love, and we plant-strongified it. So, you know, we also have hummus and spreads. We got pasta sauces. We have wonderful salads. Like, we have a grilled Thai kale salad that'll just steal the eye right out of your head. We have all kinds of fantastic soups, from butternut barley soup to a mulligatawny. We have a dessert section that's got apple crumbles and chocolate cake and truffles. And so, you know, they're lip-smacking, palate-singing, rib-sticking, delicious recipes. And that's, you know, I tell people this is not about eating salads and carrot sticks and celery. This is about eating a bunch of man-tastic and woman-tastic food.
That sounds great. Now, let's bring something up here, because you have some children, and a lot of people will say, well, how do you get children on this type of diet?
I do. I've got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they don't know any better. And, you know, I tell people, when you come into this world, you're not born liking cigarettes or coffee or alcohol, right?
Right.
And we grow to like these substances, many of which are very injurious to our health. And we do it because, you know, for the most part, it's considered cool and rico suave. And so we try it, and we try it, and we try it. And usually after a number of times of, you know, doing the alcohol or smoking cigarettes or drinking coffee, you all of a sudden you grow a palate that actually doesn't mind it. And I would say it's, in many ways, it's the same thing with some of these foods. I mean, some people may think that they don't like kale, they don't like Brussels sprouts, they don't like, you know, brown rice, they don't like steel-cut oats, sweet potatoes. But if you really, really were to understand how amazing these foods were for you, you know, that's helpful. And then you just have to keep trying them and try cooking them differently, try spicing them differently, try slicing them differently, try incorporating them in a different dish, and it's amazing. But I do that every day with my kids. We put the food out there, whether it's the broccoli, whether it's the sweet potatoes, whether it's the grilled tofu, whether it is the Tex-Mex burrito with potatoes and refried black beans or pinto beans in it. And, you know, sometimes for 3 months in a row, they won't even try the broccoli. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'll say, hey, guys, you know, I want you to eat that broccoli, and I bet you can't do it between your toes. So they'll pick it up with their toes, they'll eat it, and then the next thing you know, they're eating broccoli, and they're asking for it for a bedtime snack. And the other day, you know, Cole had no interest in trying asparagus, none whatsoever. And we were at my my parents' house, and my mom said, "Cole, do you know that that asparagus will make your pee smell funny?" And that's all he needed. That was the impetus he needed, and he ate two asparagus, you know, stalks. And then, of course, he was trying to see if his pee smelled funny. But, you know, so sometimes you have to get creative, too, with how you get your kids to eat this stuff. But they now are at the point where they love and they crave plant-based foods. They don't know anything else. And yes, they get a little bit of peer pressure when they're at parties and stuff. But for the most part, they are very proud of the way they eat. And it's amazing how at the age of 4 and 6, how dialed in and tuned in they are to what's healthy and what's not healthy.
That's great. And it's so important, especially today with the children's diseases, getting adults' diseases today, and the obesity problems that we have today. Rip, for those that want to learn more about your dietary approach to good health and wellness and longevity, what's your website and how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, we have several different ways you can connect with us online. You can go to engine2diet.com. You can go to mybeefwithmeat.com. You can connect with us on Facebook, Engine2Diet at Facebook, Engine2Diet on Instagram and Pinterest. Where on Pinterest we have over 300, you know, free recipes for people.
Wow!
We also have an online community called Engine2Extra, where we have close to 2,400 members, and we support each other with recipes and questions and food logs and journals, and we have an amazing array of plant-based experts that join us every month, and we do a little kind of like what you're doing right now, a little radio broadcast with them. So those are some ways for people to stay in touch with us.
Well, thank you so much, Rip, for being with us today, and keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Dr. John.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week's program. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.